Well, good morning, guys. Tough morning, isn't it? Been praying about that all day. Not just here. Pastors all around the country are addressing this. Something we don't typically do, address the evil in the world and take it head on like this. I've got pastor friends all over this morning that have asked me to pray for them. They're praying for us because we're all just dismayed about what happened this week. But also, I'm amazed at the way God has brought some things together, how the message that I had intended for this morning already fit without a lot of sitting up and rewrites and how am I going to address this. Wasn't necessary. God had already given me something this morning that matches this. Our entire series on light. You know, and I was really a bit apprehensive this morning coming in, wondering what everybody's mood was. Because everything we've seen on the news, everything we've seen on social media, everything has been so negative or combative or it's depressing. But this morning, the minute I walked in, it was lifted. Did y'all notice that when you came in here this morning? Did you feel a dark, oppressive spirit when you came in? No. I can feel light. I can feel joy. I can feel laughter. You think that's coincidental? I don't. I think God knows exactly what we needed this morning. I was sitting here thinking, here we were sitting in total darkness, and the light was shining for us right here. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the light. We're going to talk about the light of God's Word. You've probably heard that phrase. You know, where does this light come from? Practically, how do we know what light is in our society? I mean, there's so many ideas about what's right and wrong. Even this week, we see arguments about things. And unfortunately, I think a friend of mine, pastor friend, said it best this week. Instead of turning to the Lord, we try and turn to legislation to fix our problems. That's not our problems. It's our hearts. It's the heart of the nation. It's the heart of everyone here. That's where this darkness comes from. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. I want you to go ahead and, if you have a Bible or a mobile device, whatever you care to read your scriptures on, look at Psalm chapter 119. We're going to hit a few verses in there to begin with. Probably, Mark, are we on YouVersion this morning as well? Yes, if you'd like to go on YouVersion, that's a great tool. It's a great way to read the Word if you'd like to get in there and look at it this morning. But Psalm 119, starting with verse 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light into my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever, to the end. We don't talk a lot about rules because, frankly, most of us don't like to follow rules. How many of you get up every day and say, I hope there's a new rule I can follow? Nobody's that way. We haven't been that way since we were children. None of us like rules. We don't like anyone to tell us what to do. I think that's particularly worse maybe in our culture in America. We're self-made people, we seem to think. We pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We're self-made men and women. We don't need anybody, and we certainly don't need anyone telling us what to do. That flies directly in the face of this passage of Scripture. This passage of Scripture talks about your righteous rules. It talks about us being afflicted. And my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, teach me your rules. Let me not forget your law, because the wicked have a snare for me. They're trying to trip me up. But I don't want to stray from your precepts, your laws, your regulations, your rules. Your testimonies are my heritage forever. The things you've said are what I believe in. And they're the joy of my heart. And I want my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. How many of you find that having rules in your heart gives you joy? Unless you were like the little kid that was the hall monitor that liked to tell on everybody and make sure everybody kept the rules, there's not much joy comes from that, is there? I mean, that's not my natural response, is to say, oh boy, let me think of some rules. Wow, that's joy. You know, I love that 65-mile-an-hour speed limit on Highway 111. That is the greatest thing on that empty, desolate stretch of road that's ever been invented, isn't it? Yeah, no, I don't like that. There should be no rule there. As long as I don't hit a deer or somebody else, I should be able to do whatever I want up there. You know, I should be able to go as fast as I want. The car will do a lot more than 65, I think. Not that I've ever done that. But, you know, we don't like rules in our lives. But they're necessary. They're necessary as guides. They're necessary to keep us where God wants us to be. But how do we do that practically? Well, another verse from Psalm 119, back up in the chapter a little bit, says, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Lots of interpretations of that verse. I've seen it used and misused. But what about our hearts? I've put these words in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, maybe for some of you that come from a church background, you were told that was memorizing scripture. That's the way you did it. You know, you memorize these verses. That's how you were putting God's word in your heart. And that's how you weren't going to sin against him, because it's a sin not to memorize his word. Very difficult for some of us that suck at memorizing stuff, and I'm one of them. I've never been good at it, guys. I'm not the guy that goes by memory on anything I do. I will go look it up in a reference. I'll double check myself. I want to make sure I'm right. I'll go and look and see. So this is great for me, because I figured you just go back to Scripture and you check that rule. When you need it, you go check it. The thing that's supposed to live in your heart is the Holy Spirit and his guidance in how to apply the rules to your life. The problem is, most of us, you know where those rules go when we memorize them? They go here instead of here. We know what we're supposed to do. We've heard it over and over. 10 Commandments, okay? Most of us have heard of those. We've seen them on TV. Every Easter, you can at least watch the movie. If you're the most non-religious person around, you've probably seen Moses bringing down the big stone tablets, and they got words on them. What's the first one that comes to mind? Thou shalt not what? For this week, what should you not do? Kill. Everybody in here knew that. I didn't have to come out and say, guys, you know it's wrong to kill folks. We know that. We know God's scriptures say that. There's two things we've connected together. We thought, well, gee, we're not supposed to kill folks. God's word says that. So why do we do it? It's because it stays here instead of here. You know, Jesus made a lot of things more clear about the law and the Ten Commandments when he came to earth. Do you remember what Jesus said about killing? If you have anger in your heart, it's just like killing. It's the same root cause. Oh, wait, that's not good, is it? Anybody been angry with anybody? Yeah. Okay, the other one is thou shalt not lie, so I'll get you on one of the two. You know, I'm going to get you one way or another this morning on these scriptures, because we've all done this. We've all fallen short of God's standard. We've all lied. We've all cheated. We've all, you know, been angry with someone. It may have been our spouse. You're angry with your spouse. Jesus says that's the same as wanting to kill your spouse or killing them. Man, that's tough. That puts us in a category we don't like being in. Why are all these things true? Look at Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? It's a heart problem. It comes from within us. It's not the devil making us do it. Did the devil put your heart in your body? It was there when you were born. You were born with a heart. You were born with a soul. It's been there all this time. And this junk, this desperate sickness comes out of it. Look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. That's where those things come from. It's not our environment. It's not a product of our parents and how we were raised. It's not whether we're in church or whether we're not. It's not that who makes me do it? The devil makes me do it. It's not external influences from Satan, although he certainly likes to arrange circumstances to make that sickness and sin come out of our hearts in a more easy, readily fashion. But it's us. It's inside us. We're born with it. We're born with a sin nature. We're born rotten. And we need a Savior to correct that problem. You know, and if you don't believe that, if you, you know, we talked today, society getting worse. And I believe in some ways it's worse, and in some ways, not so much so. It's always been this way. One of the first stories in the Bible, you can't make it four chapters in before in the book of Genesis, we have Cain killing Abel because he's jealous of him. Four chapters into Scripture, into God's written word, and there's a murder happens. Murders still happen today. There's more people, so there, we know there's more murders. You know, you've got Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel. I don't know what other children. I think all the other children were born after them. But they're populating the entire earth. And here we have Cain and Abel. 25% of the earth is a murderer from the start. There's four people here, and one of them kills somebody. It's always been this way. One of the things I really liked about Max Lucado's prayer in talking about darkness. Look back at the story of Jesus himself. We like to think of the story of Jesus as the little baby in a manger, and it's all nice, and you know. Have you seen Talladega Nights? Remember that? In his little golden fleece diaper, and you know, it's all just, it's wonderful. It's great. You know, it's a, he was born in a very dark, oppressive time. And they had to flee for their lives because of Herod. Herod was a jealous king. He wanted to kill not just Jesus, but in case he couldn't find Jesus, maybe I don't get the right one, I'm going to kill every baby that's been born between this time and this. I want to kill every single one of them. That's about as evil and wicked as you get. That's as evil and as wicked as what happened this week. And that was mandated by the government leader. They were oppressed. Those are horrible things to think about. Killing babies, children losing their lives, adults, spouses, whoever it may be. We don't want to think about those deaths. But here's where the problem comes from in all this. You know where the problem comes from? When we start saying, I'm not like that. I'm not like that, Scott. I'm not a killer. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a thief. I haven't committed adultery. I haven't done any of these things. You're just way off base. You know, I'm a Christian. I don't do those things. It's the biggest lie Satan tells us. You know why? Because Scripture tells us we're all born with sin in our lives. We're all this way. What happens to us is it's so easy to do is we want to compare ourselves to each other instead of to God's holy standard. You know why? It's a lot easier for me to compare myself with somebody else that's a sinner than it is to somebody that's sinless and perfect. It's a lot easier for me to say, I've never killed anybody. I've not committed adultery. I've never never mind that one. Yeah, see where I'm at? It's easy to compare the things that I'm better than you at in my heart. I think I'm better than you at that. But I won't compare this area of my life because you might be a little better than me. Yeah, yeah, very subjective. And the thing is, there's no way I'm up to God's standard up here. There's no way I meet that standard. None of us do. We're all in that boat. As far as God's standard goes, we're no better than Herod, a mass murderer, or anyone else. That's where we're at. And that's not to try and depress you and make you make some kind of emotional decision this morning that I'm rotten and I need this. But you do need a Savior. I need a Savior. We all need a Savior because we were all born into sin. We're all like that. And that's the reason God gives us His Word. We need intervention. We can't rely on our own heart to provide us with proper direction without God's intervention. We can't do it. Our heart's desperately wicked. What's inside of us will guide us down the wrong path. We need the Holy Spirit showing us what's written in God's Word as we read it, as we hear it. We may hear it on the radio. We may hear it at a sermon on Sunday. Our friends may share Scripture with us. So many ways that God's Word is not just simply the reading of these passages. It's letting it come and just encompass everything in our lives. That's how we hide God's Word in our hearts, as we start living by these standards, and they come in. And, you know, and we get this direction because without that direction, we're going to do the wrong thing every time because it's not in our nature to do the right thing. And that's tough to accept sometimes. You know, it's not that you want to try and do the wrong thing. The Apostle Paul talks about it in the New Testament. He wrote most of the New Testament. And he says, I struggle. The things I know I should do, I don't do. And the things I know I shouldn't do, I go ahead and do them anyway. Here's a man that met Jesus face to face and struggles with it. What chance do I have to do the right thing out of my own heart? I've got to have a guide. I've got to know something. I've got to know from God's own word and his own record what to do. Look at this verse in Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. We need to trust God's word that's what we need to do in our lives, whether it feels right or not. We're often misled by the feelings of our heart I know God's word doesn't really say this. I know that God really hates divorce and things, but I think God would want me to be happy, don't you? Bull. It's coming from your heart, your emotions. You're not reading what God's word says about reconciliation and loving your spouse and loving your spouse forever and about the commitment that most of us made that committed before God to be married. You're not looking at that. You're looking at selfishly from your heart. You're not judging against God's holy standard. You're judging against man's standard. Who are going to say, well, yeah, that's okay. Go ahead and get your divorce. It's no big deal. They don't mention to you the fact that it's going to ruin your children's lives forever. Your children are going to struggle with it. And you can't go back and correct that. I understand that. You know, in our church, in every church, half of us have been divorced. It's the fact of life. But it doesn't make it the best way to proceed with your life just because it's happened. We can always change, and we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. But we need to trust the Lord and believe in his word that is the light for our lives. What he says in Scripture is what brings light. That's what I was thinking about this morning. Here, this total room of darkness and this light shining up here. We're talking about love and peace and hope and these things in the Advent season. The light. And today we're talking about the light of the Word and what happens. Now, here's our problem as a people. We become accustomed to stumbling around in the dark. We don't look for God's Word. We decide, well, you know, I'm doing okay. And we become so accustomed to the sin and darkness in our lives, we navigate every day this path by habit. You know, and I can give you a great example of that. How many of you ever walk from your bedroom to anywhere in your home at night? You do it. You know, it may be totally dark. You may have a little nightlight, but you kind of feel your way around. Okay, the dresser's here. This is here. Yeah, this is here. This is here. Whoa! Somebody laid something in the floor. You know, that happens. You know, there's obstacles sometimes in that path that we don't see. But what happens is we can go almost blindfolded and go from point A to point B without looking, because it's such a habit for us. It's habitual. This is the way we live our lives. And that's what happens when darkness comes into our own lives and we live it every day. We begin to believe that's the way we have to live. We begin to believe everybody lives like this. This is okay. Our society approves this. I'm just going to go on about my way. It's easier than changing my path. It's easier than putting light on it. Maybe I don't want to light that path and see what it looks like. Maybe I don't want to see what's there. Maybe I just want to keep stumbling around in the dark by habit. The problem is, and we talked about this in the first section from Psalm 119, are the snares that lay in darkness. It's very easy to fall into a snare when you're walking in the dark. A snare, for those of you who may not know that terminology, like a loop down here on the floor, laid out like a lasso, and you step here and the thing goes and pulls you up by your feet. You've seen that. Everybody's watched cartoons, haven't you? You've seen cartoons, haven't you? Yeah, I know you've seen this happen in video games and cartoons where you step into this snare and the next thing you know, you're hanging upside down helplessly. It's what happens to us when we walk in the darkness. We get snared by the devil. We get snared by the evil will of men around us. And the next thing you know, we're almost helpless to get out of the situation. We've been caught up in it and we don't know how to get out. And it's so easy to fall into it. But look at what it says in Psalm 37. It says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. He keeps you from falling down. He's walking with you if you're willing. The only way you can fall is if you let go of his hand. How many of you either have children that are about yay tall or remember when you were about this tall? When you were in trouble, what do your parents always do to you? They grab you by the hand, don't they? And what is your natural reaction as a child? I'm not going to hold your hand. You can go to preschool this morning, and you can probably see that at some point on the way out. There will be a child on the way out of Journey today that doesn't want to hold somebody's hand for whatever reason. We're stubborn. We come by it naturally. We don't want to be led. We want to be on our own. That's where that sin nature is ingrained. If you don't think people are born with a sinful nature, you're going to find out when you volunteer for preschool. Trust me. We like to think of our kids as little angels that never do anything wrong, and it's always someone else's child that's causing the problem. You go in there and look. I don't care how innocent they look. Man, they're all mean. Man, you never know what they're going to do. It's like, oh, isn't she so sweet? Next thing you know, she's taking the bam and cocking somebody upside the head. We had some friends of ours. I remember this story. Karen remembers them. Their names were Matthew and Daniel. And one of the boys had taken a toy from the other one. And their dad's sitting there, and he's like, man, don't do that. And he's like, okay. He thinks it's over, you know. Well, next thing he knows, one of the siblings is coming from the back room with a hammer, getting ready to get the other one. And these are little kids. He's like, whoa, don't do that. Don't kill your little brother. You know? Even kids have this sin nature in them. Man, we so need to realize that it's born in us. We've got to get away from this. You know, it's just crazy the way that we fall. But the thing is, we don't want to hold God's hands, but he's there to hold our hands and to hold us up. And the other thing is, this path that we're on, that we're talking about, this lighted path that the scriptures provide the light for, the path's only revealed a step at a time. God illuminates your next step, but not the whole path. Boy, I hate that, don't you? Would you want to go somewhere that you don't know where you're going and you're only revealed one turn at a time? I hate the GPS when it does that. You know, don't you hate the GPS? Turn left at the next intersection. Turn left at the next intersection. You have passed your point. Please make a U-turn as soon as possible. Recalculating. You know, I don't want to hear that. I want to say, well, just keep going and you can turn down yonder. It's okay. Don't worry about it. You know, I got you here. I want to see the whole path. How many of you, and I think this is a guy thing, try and beat the estimated arrival time on the GPS? Oh, yeah. We call her, she's got an Australian accent. We call her Sheila. I can beat Sheila. I can beat her. You know, I know I can shave time off it. And the greatest thing, and it's just all in my head, I know, because there's a section of I-75 through Georgia that Sheila still thinks is 55 miles an hour, and it's 65. And, man, I think I'm making great time. Sheila don't know that. Man, I'm going to get there faster. I'm going to get to my destination. Man, I don't even need Sheila. I know how to get there now. You know, we don't like not seeing the whole plan. But Scripture only tells us to take a step at a time because why? We can't navigate more than that, guys. We can't handle more than that. We can't make the next right decision. But every day we need to take the next right step on a daily basis. Every day you need to look ahead of you and take the next right step. It's called getting up and doing the next right thing. And you need to do that every single day. Because it's so important that we live our lives as Christians, as Mark was saying just a minute ago, so that we're the light that people can see. There's not darkness in us. They see us living by faith and living by what God tells us in his word, the light of his word. And they see us as the hope for the world, not the problem with it. And that's what we need to be seen as this morning. You know, and of course, I always have to slip a really neat quote in here. Look at our next quote. Robert Plant, the great theologian, you know him. He says, yes, there's two paths you can go by, but in the long run, there's still time to change the road you're on. You know what? That's so stinking true. We think we're on this path, and we've made these decisions in our life that have doomed us to stay on this path we're on. And that is so untrue. That's a lie from Satan. We're not on a path that can't be changed. God can change your life in an instant. In an instant, he can change that path for you. You just have to be smart enough to ask him and look for it and look in the scriptures. You know, I was amazed in reading just a little bit of that behind that. You know, that's from the song Stairway to Heaven. We've all heard it, haven't we?
Probably backwards.
Probably backwards, yeah. If backwards, you fall down in the basement into hell, I think, is what if you play that backwards. But I'm not sure how that all goes. But you've got this path, this lady's. But it talks about this woman that says, you know, everything she saw, everything that glittered was gold, and she was buying the stairway to heaven. Sounds silly, doesn't it? You can't buy your way into heaven. Robert Plant was being a bit cynical there. Probably some gal that he was dating had spent all his money, you know. And so he was thinking, yeah, she's trying to buy her way to heaven. You know, he's kind of cynical about that. The problem is we all try and do that, guys. We try and do that by modifying our behavior. Look, they're throwing things at me. That's awesome. Aren't you glad we're casual here and can have fun? You know, it doesn't freak everybody out when we have some little mess up or something. It's fun. And I do, it's the lightness of the mood here. And that's being a community. You wouldn't freak out if something happened in your family like happens every week here. I mean, something always goes wrong. It's fun. Yeah, see, like that. And then you have the practical joker back there that always does that. You know, somebody's always having fun with us. But, you know, all these things that we convince ourselves that by temporarily modifying our behavior, it's going to make God happy. I tell you what, this has been a rough week, God. Things aren't going well at my job. My wife's mad at me. But I'll give you an hour on Sunday. I'll go to church Sunday. That'll make you happy, won't it, God? That'll be good stuff. I might even pray. You know what, God? Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stick a fiver in that little bucket back there when I leave. That'll make things good with us, right? I'll give you a little something, God, because you've been giving me a little something. Yeah, this is how this works out. I'm going to modify my behavior. I'm going to become a giver this morning. Bull. We don't do that, God. We think that modifying our behavior is what God's looking for when he's been after our heart from the very beginning. He's been pursuing our heart is what he's after. I found this verse, actually, and this is not in your slides, but, you know, well, actually, let me go back up and let's do talk about the path and changing your path from Matthew chapter 7. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Those are the two roads that Robert Plant was talking about, in my opinion. You can think whatever you want to about it. That's what I think of when I hear those. There's two roads you can go by. In the long run, you can still change the path you're on. There's one that leads to destruction. There's one that leads to eternal life through Jesus Christ. You can choose which one of those paths you want. The problem is, and the reason there's so few people that get through that narrow path, is the sin in our hearts darkens and obscures that narrow gate. We don't see it because we're so busy living life the way we want to. We're so busy doing the things that we want to do. We don't realize when sin has crept into our lives and has darkened our path so much that we're just stumbling along by the habit I talked about and realize we're on the wrong road. We're going the wrong way. We're not finding that narrow gate, that straight and narrow, as we often call it, that God wants us on. And we need to be there. And this is the passage of Scripture that I found last night as I was just reading through and thinking about Cain and Abel. And this is where this passage comes from, isn't the passage about Cain and Abel from Genesis chapter 4, verse 7 says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Sin desires us. The things that make us angry, that make us want to commit adultery, make us want to do all these things that we struggle with, whatever it may be, sin desires us. And it comes from within our own hearts. That's the reason we need God's word in our hearts, so that we know when those things tempt us that, no, I can't do that because God wouldn't approve of it. It's not God's will for my life. God doesn't work like this. And that's the reason we so need this morning to remember that God's word lights that path. I mean, I can imagine this aisle, this narrow, straight aisle this morning, being lit from here as we go out into the world this morning. That's the path God has for us. He's told us, you know, maybe you need to read your Bible more. That's a good thing. But just reading it for the sake of reading it doesn't help your heart. It may help your head, but you've got to apply what you're reading to help your heart. And You know, we have reading plans available out here. Maybe you need to get one of those. The New Year's a great time to start that. YouVersion, if you use that, YouVersion has a Christmas reading that you can start right now and read up to Christmas and then start you a new plan in YouVersion. There's so many things you guys can do to help your heart. But I want to close, finally, with this passage of Scripture out of Isaiah. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's telling us right there, he knows that his ways are higher than ours. We know that this is a difficult path he set forward for Christians to go down. We know these are tough, but God says that's what's expected of you. If you want to claim me as your Father and my Son as your Savior, these are the things you must do. You must obey my word and do what it says without question. And don't compare yourselves to others and their righteousness, but compare yourself to me, your Heavenly Father, and my righteousness. Guys, man, would you guys be coming on up, and I'll finish here. This will save us a little time as you guys are coming up. I want to finish up here and just tell you, some of you may be on the complete wrong path. Those two paths, you may be on the path that leads to destruction, that leads to hell, because you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Christmas season's a great time to reflect on the gift that God gave us, that God gave us a gift that's so awesome. He gave his own Son that we might live. So these sins that we know are in our hearts that we're born with are pardoned because of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. And this morning, if you haven't made that decision to accept that fact, I ask you to do that. It's a great time of year to reflect on that. Perhaps you've made that decision in the path you're on. You're stumbling. You're kind of beaten and bruised from falling down on it and not taking God's hand. If you need to make that decision this morning, do that as we close. But think about the light. Think about the wonderful light that God has given us today to guide our paths. His word and how important it is to know it and apply it to our hearts. And guys, if you make a decision like that, we'd love to know about it. Write on the communication card that's in your seat. That's not so we can brag about we had this many saved or this many people said this or what. It's just so we can know where your heart's at as a community, because we don't get to talk to everyone individually each week. And we'd love to know what's on your hearts. And if you have questions about the things that have happened this week and how to handle this as a Christian, what your response should be, write it on there. Give us a call. Let us know. We're here to help you. The whole staff here loves you guys as a community, and we're here to help you. And now I just ask that we pray as Don finishes out for us. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for what's a difficult message to bring, God, when we start reflecting on what our own hearts bring and the destruction that our own desires can bring to our lives. But to know, God, that you sent your light into the world at Christmas time, as we call it, that Jesus came to save us from our sins and provide light. And God, we thank you for that light, and we thank you for the light of your word, for the scriptures and what they tell us to do and how to live our lives, that we may have a fulfilling life while we're here on earth, God, and just pray that we'll follow those precepts, those things that you've laid out before us, and God, that we'll take your hand and let you lead us down that path, so that we don't stumble and fall into snares, God. And that's just my prayer for all of us this morning, God, as a family, God, that we know you love us and that we'll love you like we should. And God, just pray that we'll bond together as a community and know we don't have all the answers, God, but we know the one answer is your Son, Jesus Christ, and how you've revealed him in your word and how that word can apply to our lives, God. And I thank you for that this morning. In your precious Son's name we pray. Amen.